With me to James chapter 2, as we get back into our study of the book of James. We'll only be a couple hours today with the message because we have communion to do right after, so we've shortened the message time. Now, we just sang the song, Jesus, We Love You. And you know, it's an amazing thing because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. You know, keeping God's commandments and doing things for Jesus is not a work. It just shows our love for Him. And so we're in the book of James. We're back to our study. James is an in-your-face kind of book, man. And it says you need to test your faith. And so we began in chapter 1 talking about trials. Trials test our faith. Temptation tests our faith. How we respond to the Word of God, that tests our faith. And before Easter season began, we talked about favoritism. Favoritism is a test of our faith. People are in need in our community and all over the world. And do you show partiality to people in need? God says if you have what is needed for them, you should give it to everybody without showing partiality. Now, today is probably one of the biggest, and we won't get through it today. It'll probably take a few weeks. But today is one of the biggest tests of your faith that you will ever have to have some kind of visible examination. Not for others, but for yourself. And that is works. And I must say, we'll get into it. That's all right. I'll clarify it when we get into the... Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, James says this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, let me just clarify this because this is, I don't want to say it's a mistranslation because it's translated from the original Greek. But what we do is we have problems with our English language. Because are we saved by faith? Amen? Okay, so, but James says, can faith save you? So that would kind of be like contradictory with what Paul says in Ephesians 2, right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not works. Works doesn't save you. What Jesus did on the cross does. It's you applying that and accepting it by faith. So what happens is we have a mistranslation because our English language can't put from the Greek into English the proper way that it should. And so some translations try to get it word for word. And so if word for word, this is probably how it would be. Some do a paraphrased. But if you were to translate this verse, and this is the one we're going to focus on today. If you were to translate this verse into English, he would probably say something like this. And this would be the Zediker paraphrase translation. But it would say something of this. Can the faith that you say you have be backed up by what you do? Something of that nature. You say you have faith, but do you do anything about that faith? And can that faith really save you? All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Ron Kirschman, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? That's right.
And we thank that we are here. We ask you to bless today, bless the word that the pastor brings, and just bless us as we come to the baptism today. We just come to you in your son Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Well, as we begin this section, I hope you wear your steel toes because this will step on your toes pretty good. Psychologist Dr. Alfred Adler, when dealing with people, he said this. Trust only in movement. Life happens at the level of action. And he goes on to say, we are not what we say, we are, however, what we do. What we do is the real key to our intentions. So trust only in movement. And basically what he found out was the exact thing that the Bible says about man. He observed human behavior from the viewpoint of psychology. And he concluded that the real revelation of a person, of a true person, is through that person's behavior. So someone said faith plus nothing equals nothing. It's kind of like zero times whatever is always zero. True faith will always be seen in your works. Dead faith will not be seen at all. And so there is such a thing as faith in Christ that doesn't save you. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't, does it? How can you have faith in Jesus Christ if it doesn't save you? Well, let me tell you what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 2. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved." You're saved by the gospel. "If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Do you understand that people believe in the gospel, people believe in Jesus all the time, and they're not saved because they don't believe in him as their Savior? They believe in the idea of him. They believe in so many things, but not actually in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what John the Baptist said, and this is a clear illustration. Back in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says, "But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming," John the Baptist, they were coming to his baptism, "he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance.'" He said, if you want to repent and turn from your ways, show something that says that you are repentant. And so therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our father.' For I say that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." So it wasn't what they did is what they based their salvation on. It was their genealogy that they were from Abraham. "Oh, we're saved because we're from Abraham. Oh yeah, I believed in Jesus when I was like one or something, my mom said. So yeah, I'm good. My mom and dad went to church for years. My grandma was a hardcore Christian. She was great." What has that got to do with you? "Well, I placed my faith in Jesus years ago." Okay, well, show me some fruit of that. Where's your fruit? Well, I'm not saved by what I do. True. But what you do shows what you believe. That's the problem. What you do shows you what you have believed. And so the works is what showed that our faith is legitimate. Take a thief, for instance. You say a thief, he steals, I'm sorry. He steals, I'm sorry. He steals, I'm sorry. He steals, I'm sorry. Is he really sorry? So it really doesn't matter what he says, does it? His actions prove him otherwise. That's the idea. Your actions will prove you of what you say you believe. And that's the whole point. This is what James is saying. You want to test your faith? Test it by what you do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does what? Does the will of my Father." Not believes by faith in me. Because if you believe, you will continue to do God's will. Right? I mean, that should be evident. Just because you say you believe doesn't mean that you have heaven and eternal life. And this is what Jesus was trying to proclaim to them. Now, listen. In John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25, Jesus has just come from the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. He goes back to Jerusalem. It's a Passover feast. And so when he was in Jerusalem, the time of the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. Now you got to get the context of this. When they saw the signs which he had did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Let me explain that. Everybody needs somebody to show them what they believe. You don't just say what you believe. You have to be shown what you believe. And so the idea here is, in the context, they said that they believed in Jesus. But Jesus didn't need them to do anything because he knew what was in their heart. He knew that they really didn't believe in him. And so the idea is that we need to be shown God doesn't. That's the idea. They believed in his name. They trusted in him. They knew he was a healer. They knew that he had come down from God. They knew that he was something special about him. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they were saved. Did Judas walk with Jesus? All the time, even called him Lord. Does that mean that he was saved? Listen, it's not what you say, it's what you do. I mean, it is by faith. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and there's many. There's 120, there's 70, there's 12, there's three close ones. There's only one that he loved that the Bible talks about. And so he's talking about these hard stuff. But when he starts talking about Jesus being the Savior and that you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood or you have no part in him, that was some hard stuff for those people. Some of those people that heard that, man, they're like in John 6:6:6. Ooh, that's creepy, isn't it? From that time on, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. When he started getting into some hard stuff, people didn't want to hear it. I mean, the rich man, Jesus, I believe in you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. What? I ain't doing that. I'm going home. Comes down to it when Jesus asks you to do something, are you willing to do it? He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He's talking to Nicodemus at night, a Pharisee, in John chapter 3. Come to verse 2, and he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For nobody can do these things unless God is with him. That's amazing. Here's old Nicodemus. People saw his miracles. They believed in him. They believed he was sent from God. And matter of fact, he says, we know that you're a teacher. We know. There's a group of people. And then Jesus says in verse 3, most assuredly, I say, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. People saw everything that Jesus had done. But you got to be born again. You got to be a new creature in Christ. You have to be somebody different. It's not based on what you say, it's based on who you are. And based on who you are, you will do something about it. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Which God prepared in eternity past when he saves us, we're going to do something about it. Absolutely, wholeheartedly. Jesus has already brought up, or James has already brought up this point in James chapter 1. Going back to verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you're just a hearer only, you're deceiving yourself. That's why he says that. Be doers of the word, because if you're just hearing God's word and you're doing nothing about it, you're deceiving yourself. And one of the ways you deceive yourself is if you deceive that you have heaven and eternal life. If you do absolutely nothing for Jesus Christ, can that kind of faith say that it saves you? That's what James is talking about. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Where are you going to serve? Oh, I don't want to serve. What are you going to do for Jesus? I don't want to do Jesus. You going to worship him in your giving? Oh, I don't want to give him my money. Well, what do you place your trust in? Well, I just don't want to go to the bad place when I die. Well, do you want your sins forgiven? Well, yeah, I guess. Let me live my life here the way I want to, and then maybe hopefully I'll have heaven and eternal life. Listen, how we live proves who we are. That's the idea. How we live proves who we are. Look at verse 14 again. We'll try to get through this and be done. What does it profit if somebody says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Matter of fact, he says in verse 17, says in verse 20, can that kind of faith save him? It's dead faith. Faith without works is dead. If somebody places their trust in Jesus Christ, you have a new heart. You have a new desire. You have new everything. You are a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. You have new desires. You have new way to go. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, we will render to each one of us according to our deeds. What are we going to be judged for when we get to heaven? It's not sin, because Jesus paid for our sin on the cross, right? But are we going to be judged when we get to heaven? Sure are. What's it going to be about? Everything we've done for Jesus since he saved us, right? So we're going to be judged based on our works. He saved us to do something about it. In other words, as Romans chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says this, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. That's what Jesus is talking about, the tree and its fruit. See, we won't go back here, but Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. I get the right reference. I could be messed up, but look that up. He says that God is going to give us a new heart. He's going to take out the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. And do you know what it says in verse 27? It says when he gives us that new heart of flesh, he's going to put his spirit within us and cause us to walk in his ways. When you receive a new nature, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a new person in Christ. You have new desires. God has given you a heart to follow and obey him. The old nature, the depraved nature, all we want to do is whatever we want to do. But when we accept Jesus, he makes us a new creature, and now we want to obey Jesus. And so the idea is your faith is trusted Jesus Christ, and now you're going to do something about it because you have the power to do something about it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, this is what Jesus says about showing you what your life is all about. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. It's an amazing thing, by people's fruits. Now, I will have to say that you can't quite tell because Jesus is the one that saves. And so if he saved and purchased that price, I don't know. That's between you and God. But Jesus says you'll know these people by the fruits they bear. Bad people to bad fruit, good people to good fruit. And so this is what God wanted us to do, give him glory by bearing fruit for the kingdom. John chapter 15, Jesus is in the upper room. Of course, John 13, Judas had already left to betray him. So Jesus is pouring himself into the 11 disciples in the upper room. And in John chapter 15, he gives an all-familiar verse about the vine and the vine dresser and the branches and so forth. And he's talking about grapes. Now, grapes, especially in the New Testament, mostly is about fruit bearing. And that's why he's talking about this, because he's talking about bearing fruit for the kingdom. And in this illustration, he says in John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it should bear more fruit. And then in verse 4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, if you're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, you've got to be in me first. And if you are in me, then you are going to bear fruit for the kingdom. That was a test. Here James says the exact same thing. He's talking about obedience, being obedient to God's word, being obedient to him. That is how you abide in Christ, if you're obedient to his word. You have perfect fellowship with God. It's a beautiful thing. Being obedient and bearing fruit. And in John 15, verse 8, this is the crux of it, and this is what Jesus says. By this, by bearing fruit, by showing everybody in the world that you're saved and you love Jesus and you're keeping my commandments. By this, Jesus says, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. How can you tell Jesus' disciples? Because they're bearing fruit for the kingdom. And that's what gives God glory. And what is the whole purpose of a Christian? What verse is that found in? One day you will have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Paul says, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And here we are. For the kingdom of God, we are to bear fruit for his kingdom. And that's what gives him glory. That is what glorifies God. Listen, merely claiming to have faith is not enough. Genuine saving faith is shown by what you do, by your works. What good is it if a thief says that he's sorry, but he continues to steal? And so, what good is it if someone says they have faith, but they don't do anything to back that up? James asked the question, can that kind of faith save you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our day. Thank you for our time. Lord, as we're about to get into remembering what your Son has done for us, I pray, Lord, that these things will impact our lives. This is why we're here. We're to remember that Jesus saved us. We're to think upon these things and reflect. Is my life reflecting? I place my trust in your Son. Am I obedient to his word? Do I have something against another believer? Am I doing something about what I say I believe in? And so, Lord, as we come to what we call communion, we remembering what your Son did on the cross. Lord, may we reflect and examine ourselves. And so we thank you for this opportunity that we can do that still freely in this country. We love you, and we commit this time to you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.